Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on an absolutely packed Friday. What a big weekend it will be of football. This, live in Los Angeles, is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening. I'm on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. 1 hour from now, blazing five, over 500 games now. A couple of teams may be quitting. Other teams are energized, like Kansas City. Blazing five in 1 hour. We are packed today, jammed today. Albert Breer, Eric Dickerson, Chris Broussard, Joel Klatt, Jason McIntyre, Blazing Five, and Joy Taylor joining me. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. I'm very excited for this weekend.
Very excited. NFL games tomorrow. Let's start the day talking about the NBA. We may have seen the four best teams in the NBA play last night. I'll get to the Clippers and the Rockets after the break. Let's start with Milwaukee at home, beats the Lakers. Everybody's freaking out, pass the torch. Timeout. Milwaukee's one of those very young, talented teams that doesn't have a title. And so these national TV games against the big villain LeBron James mean so much to them. This is the Derrick Rose Bulls team, the 2015 Hawks, last year's Denver team. Regular season games for teams that haven't won a title at home, small market Milwaukee, big villain Los Angeles. You watch the first 8 minutes of that game. Milwaukee treated that like the prize fight of the year. Folks, all I care about is the playoffs, and the playoffs are different. Number one, in the playoffs, teams are equally rested. Lakers were playing the last game of a five-game road trip. Aren't you tired after 12 days on the road? Lakers did not look energized. They didn't bring their passion until later, and by that time at halftime, it felt like it was about 75% over. Secondly, when the playoffs happen, we all know stars get the calls. They do, so don't whine about it when it happens. Stars elevate, and role guys, supporting cast guys like Chris Middleton shrink. Last year, Chris Middleton's field goal percentage, three-point percentage, and points all went down. He was hot and cold. Don't take too much from this. LeBron's played in games that matter, that 20 million people are watching. Last night, it was probably 2.5 million people watched in Milwaukee. That's the biggest sporting event not called the Packers in Milwaukee that's happened in years. It felt huge, and Milwaukee came out swinging and landing punches, and they were hot, and it won't look anything like a finals where the Lakers would not be on the last game of a road trip. In fact, I was actually impressed with the Lakers two or three times last night. They made charges and came back. They could have mailed it in. They had a great road trip. They could have mailed it in. They did not. They kept chopping away, chopping the wood. They got close. In Milwaukee, it was their night. They got to a huge lead. Ask yourself this. In May, NBA playoff basketball, these games are close, right? Who do you trust to hit a big shot for the Lakers? LeBron can hit him. Anthony Davis will hit him. And I trust Danny Green because I've seen him do it in Toronto and I've seen him do it in San Antonio. Three guys. Who do you trust for Milwaukee in June? Giannis. You don't trust Chris Middleton. I saw Chris Middleton last year. He wasn't a prize recruit. He wasn't a dominant college player. He's a very nice number three or four in a championship team. I like him, but I don't trust him. I trust three different Lakers, LeBron, AD, and Danny Green, because I've seen two of them do it, and I know Anthony Davis can deliver in the postseason because he's a remarkable player. He's probably the number two or three player in the league right now. Folks, the number one seed in the East in the last, let me look this up, 16 years. Only three times in the last 16 years has the number one seed in the East got to the finals. Two of those are LeBron. It was just an awesome, fun night in Milwaukee. It was a great day in Milwaukee. Didn't the Brewers pick up a first baseman? And the Packers, you know, they're first in their division, right? And Milwaukee beats the vaunted Lakers, who stole Lou Alcindor years ago. We hate those guys. But in the end, Milwaukee right now in the NBA is nothing more than a cool story. Do you know Giannis has never beaten a healthy, functional roster in the playoffs? He beat Detroit last year for his first playoff series win. They didn't have Blake Griffin. Oh, by the way, they were below 500. And then he beat Boston, which is highly dysfunctional last year. I don't know if you've noticed, they're way better since Kyrie Irving went to Brooklyn. They're a great story. He's a great kid. He's totally relatable. This game meant nothing. Here's Giannis afterwards.
I was supposed to be here. You know, I wasn't number one pick. You know, AD was. You know, like, LeBron was number one. Like, I wasn't supposed to be here. I wasn't supposed to, you know, go against these two beasts. So I'm just happy that, you know, I'm here. I'm happy that I'm going through the process, and I'm always want to, you know, be better, do better for my team, and that's what gives me joy.
He should be joyful this morning, but it's just joyful this morning. It doesn't have – it's December. It doesn't – no passing torches. It doesn't mean anything. I'll get to the Rockets and the Clippers. Clippers melted down last night. Troubling sign. I'll get to that in a second. But I'm going to be incredibly unbearable Monday if Carson Wentz, throwing to lawn chairs and deck furniture, beats the Cowboys, who are totally healthy. I'm going to be unbelievably unbearable. It'll be awful for a Cowboy fans. I just put on earmuffs or something, because if Carson Wentz can win this weekend, there's this weird anti-Carson Wentz thing in the NFL. For the record, with all these great quarterbacks, and there's a bunch of them right now, new guys, old guys, he's seventh in the NFL in passing touchdowns. No, I'm not joking. He's seventh. We got Mahomes. We got Lamar. We got Russell Wilson. We got Deshaun. We got Aaron Rodgers. He's seventh. And they have no receivers. He's seventh. He's saving them, and yet Michael Irvin yesterday has to talk about Dak and Wentz. They're going to meet this weekend. Takes another little shot at Carson Wentz. Listen.
And I do like both of those quarterbacks. I don't, you know, Dak has way more wins right now. I was studying that the other day than Carson Wentz, and I love that. I love him for what he does on the football field, but even more than that, his leadership, the team loves playing for him. When you can get the quarterback to be the heart and soul of a team, you got a great thing, because you have all the guys wanting to play for the leader of the team. I've heard rumblings that that's not the situation with Carson Wentz when Nick Foles was there. Yeah. And I think that hurts a quarterback if that is the perception in the locker room.
Oh, just a subtle shot at Carson Wentz. I know that Dak has a better record against Carson Wentz when they've played, but it should be noted in those Cowboy-Eagle game, Wentz has 11 touchdowns, 2 picks. Dak's got 8 touchdowns, 7 picks with a better offensive line. It's funny about Carson Wentz. It's amazing we do this in the NFL. We just pick people we just don't love. For whatever reason, you guys couldn't put your arms around Andrew Luck. You just couldn't. You make a million excuses for Aaron Rodgers. You didn't like Andrew Luck, and you don't like Carson Wentz. So in 2017, the year the Eagles, they go to the Super Bowl, he's the leading MVP candidate. They're 11-2 when he gets hurt. He's a monster. He was like Mahomes. He was a monster. He gets hurt. Nick Foles takes over. Nick is then awful against the Cowboys, awful against the Raiders. But he has home field thanks to Carson Wentz. He is not very good against Atlanta. Julio Jones doesn't catch a ball. He would 95 out of 100 times. They beat Atlanta. Following week, they get Minnesota off the Minnesota Miracle. The Vikings are emotionally totally flat. And then they get to a Super Bowl, and Foles plays his butt off and deserves credit. But everybody in the world got credit for that win in Philadelphia. Doug Peterson, the coach, got a book. Nick Foles got a statue. Lane Johnson got famous. The city got a ticker tape parade. Philadelphia fans got more obnoxious. The owner got more net worth. Carson Wentz was hurt, got no credit. The following year, he comes back off the torn ACL. And this is the year I'm told he lost the locker room. Okay. He lost the locker room. Well, that's interesting. His passer rating went up. His completion percentage, yards per game, all career highs. 21 TDs, 7 picks in 11 games, and he lost the locker room. I tell you, I would hope my quarterback delivers those kind of numbers as he's losing the locker room. I don't know what it is. Aaron Rodgers, you guys make a dozen excuses for. Deshaun Watson, I like him, but what's his signature win? frankly, a lot of disappointment in the playoffs. Baker Mayfield, it's Freddie Kitchens' fault. No, it's Hugh Jackson's fault. It's everybody's fault but Baker. But Andrew Luck and Carson Wentz, you just don't want to put your arms around them, add any context to anything. The closest thing to Patrick Mahomes in this league as a thrower is Carson Wentz. That's the closest thing to Patrick Mahomes. I think Mahomes has a little more wizardry and a little stronger arm, but it's not that much stronger. Carson Wentz, this weekend, is down to backup running backs, a series of tight ends, a guy that played for something called the San Antonio, what was it, Commodores or something? Commanders, my bad on that. Can't believe I whiffed on that. Commodores, Commanders, what's it matter? And yet, it's a two-point game according to Vegas. And it's only a two-point game because everybody's beat up for Philly and nobody's beat up for Dallas. And the only reason it's a two-point spread is Carson Wentz. And if he wins, I am going to be unbearable on Monday. I'm going to get I'm going to get my highest rating ever in Philadelphia because I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't even know. I don't even know Sunday night what I'm going to do if Dallas loses. You better win, Dallas. Like Michael Irvin said, yeah, that Wentz guy's no good in the locker room. Everybody got credit for that Super Bowl except the guy that got him home field. The guy that was 11-2 got hurt was the MVP. Everybody got credit except that guy. Coach got a book. Nick Foles got a statue. Nick Foles got a contract. Lane Johnson got famous. You got a parade. Bagel for Carson Wentz. Can't wait for Sunday.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So the Rockets last night lost to Houston. Again, it's a regular season game. It's not the end of the world. I don't really care about the result. Westbrook played well. I know all you fanboys out there love that. You'll go crazy. That's fine. What does worry me, though, are things in the regular season that can stick for several months. Like an injury. If Kawhi Leonard really, actually, wink, wink, got hurt and was out in May, that sticks. But there is something emotionally about the Clippers, and I think they're a little bit fragile. The Clippers this year, everybody's talking about, you know, this is the year, right? So last night was the classic Clippers big game. Had a lead, playing well. Something goes wrong, and they completely unravel. And that's my number one concern about the Clippers. It's not their coaching. It's not their talent. It's not their depth. It's not their effort. That's not the issue. It's not their owner. It's not their GM. It's this. The burden of being the favorite. It's much easier to beat Toronto last year. We're up in Canada. We got swept the year before. Nobody thinks we're anything. Everybody's rolling their eyes. We're underdogs in games. And the Warriors fall apart. That's much easier than, yeah, I mean, you got Kawhi, you can give him the whole regular season off because it's all about the ring. Okay, the Cubs had a lot of all-stars and a lot of good teams for years. And the Red Sox had a lot of teams that were better than the Yankees for years. And the L.A. Chargers were 14-2 at home with 10 Pro Bowlers and lost to the Patriots in San Diego. It's a big difference pursuing Raptors last year and being pursued. And outside of Kawhi, I mean, they bent the knee for Kawhi. They basically said, take as many games off as you want. It's all about the ring. So everybody in the room with the Chargers knows it is all about the ring. I mean, I've never seen a team that has never done anything really notable in the regular season not care about it. It is all about the ring. It is all about the title, getting our own building, changing the paradigm in Los Angeles. And ask yourself, the Lakers have multiple people who have been in finals games. Quinn Cook, LeBron James, Rondo, Danny Green, JaVale McGee, Dwight Howard, and frankly, the Lakers themselves. Clippers? Not really. Kawhi, that's it. Paul George has struggled in big games. I like him, but he struggled. So last night, little bit goes wrong, and they just find ways to lose and find ways to unravel. And this is what I've said. There's nothing I doubt with the Clippers. I love them organizationally. I think the world of them. But, you know, it's like they could still win. I mean, Philadelphia, the Philly special, did beat New England. Philadelphia had been known for losing big games, not winning them. And the Cubs didn't win a World Series, and the Red Sox have won a couple. Chargers still haven't. But there is a difference between, oh, this team is built solely for the championship. For the record, LeBron's always been built for that, too. But LeBron's been there before, and he's played as a favorite. This is what separated Tiger Woods from every golfer I've ever seen. Tiger Woods would go into Sunday with a lead, and he played like he was chasing, not being chased. I think only once he's lost a Sunday lead. Greg Norman's a great golfer. Dustin Johnson's a great golfer. Rory McIlroy's a great golfer. I've seen them go into leads on Sunday and panic because they're not used to being the favorite. Tiger often played better on Sunday with a lead. LeBron, I always think, plays better as the favorite. So I thought last night was a little troubling. Doc Rivers figured it out very quickly, sent a message to his team.
I thought we had a chance to knock them out, and we didn't. And then I thought in the fourth quarter, it was more our composure. I thought we just lost our composure overall as a team. It happens, but it shouldn't, and it's a good learning lesson for us.
Yeah, Rockets were looser, more aggressive. I thought they played smarter, and they played like a franchise that had been in some of these big games, you know, with Golden State. They played like, oh, we've been in this big game before. We've been in these intense games before, and the Clippers unraveled.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
New England plays Buffalo tomorrow, and it's funny how it's worked. Josh Allen's a very good quarterback for Buffalo. He's an excellent young player, but he and Sam Darnold, if you just took out their New England games against Belichick, would have really impressive numbers. New England's defense has eaten Josh Allen alive, under 50% completion percentage. Now, we know that New England is struggling, right? We know offensively Brady now. In fact, I saw a stat this morning. He's completed fewer than 60% of his passes in five straight games. That is so not Tom Brady. But going to go to a number again. The high-powered Chiefs have scored 394 points this year. The Patriots have scored 372. The Patriots are still bizarrely competent. They've got a better defense than Kansas City. Their point differential, New England is better than Kansas City. You know, New England's got this Donald Trump feel to them. They're on top. They're really annoying. We question their character. But you look at the challengers and you're like, maybe Biden, maybe Baltimore. If the AFC playoffs started today, so the Patriots and the Ravens would have a bye, okay, then I think Kansas City at home beats sort of a choppy Pittsburgh offense. I think I would take Houston at home over Buffalo, but with absolutely no confidence. Then I would get Kansas City at New England and Houston at Baltimore. Now, I'd like Baltimore in a blowout over Houston or Buffalo. But if you go to that New England-Kansas City game, how many of you really, knowing that Kansas City won the first encounter, Belichick, Brady, special teams edge, defense edge, I mean experience edge, big game edge, Kansas City's got better weapons. So, you know, I understand, and I don't think this is a team capable of winning the Super Bowl because I don't think New England matches up with Baltimore. I don't think they match up with San Francisco. I don't think they match up with New Orleans. I'm not sure they match up great with Seattle. They match up pretty well with Kansas City, especially when it's 9 degrees. And if it's windy like it is in Boston, they match up pretty good with Kansas City. The rest of the AFC is Buffalo, Tennessee, Pittsburgh, Houston. I mean, come on. You trust any of those teams? I still trust New England. If you took out Baltimore, just took Baltimore out, I think I'd have to sing a different tune. But you can't take Baltimore out. So I think Baltimore wins the AFC. But I think they're a little more competent, New England, than we think. And if the playoffs started today, bye week, Kansas City, home. How much would you put on Kansas City?
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Chris Broussard, our first time really having you in for hoops this year. Last night may have been the four best teams in the NBA. Did you think it meant anything that Milwaukee came out swinging, landing blows, Lakers were playing catch-up all night? Did you make anything of that?
I did. I made two things out of it. I think there are three teams on the elite level, the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Bucks. I don't put Houston on the same level as those three. Milwaukee, it was more important for them last night because you're at home, and they haven't proven anything. LeBron that loss isn't going to mean anything to him. He's proven it in the playoffs and the finals. Giannis and the Bucks haven't, so it was important for them to have a statement win. What I also learned, Colin, though, is that the Lakers are – I love their attitude toward this season. Like, they are serious about this regular season and winning this championship. And I say that because they had so many times last night they could have just folded.
They could have folded at half.
Yes. I mean, they're down huge early. Then, how many times did they rally in the third quarter and early in the fourth? They cut it to 10. They cut it to 12. And the Bucks come out and hit a big three, get a big basket. Next thing you know, it's 17 points. And they kept fighting. They had so many opportunities to say, you know what? It's not our night. We'll get them in L.A. It's not a big deal. And they didn't. And that shows me. I mean, Anthony Davis on a bad ankle and at one point holding his side plays the entire second half. Now, some people might look at that and say, what are they doing? Why are they taking it so serious? I look at it and say, oh, they're ready to win this championship and they're going hard. It reminds me of, not that they're going for 73 wins, but it reminds me of Jordan's year when they went for 72 wins as the Bulls and then went on to win the championship. I see that type of attitude and serious and focus in these Lakers.
Yeah, I still feel they're 1 3-point shooter shy. Iggy, by the way, was in L.A. yesterday. A buddy sent me a picture from the gym. Andre Iguodala was in Los Angeles. Yeah, he was shooting right next door. I work out in the club next door. A buddy sent me pictures of Iggy. Steph, by the way, has been there a couple times. So I there's a lot of talk in the NBA. Andre Iguodala, which I think the Lakers need about one more guy that could hit a three, because they got KCP can hit one, Danny can hit one, LeBron can hit one, Kuzma occasionally can hit one. Quinn Cook off the bench could. Feels like they need one more guy that could get a bucket.
Well, more than that, they need a perimeter defender. We've raved about the Lakers' defense all year, right? Oh, they're tremendous defensively. They're tremendous defensively at the rim. Okay, they're long and they block shots and all that. Perimeter-wise, they're not that great. Now, Avery Bradley's a good defender. Rondo can be. LeBron can be. Danny Green. But last night, they got torched from three-point range, and they've gotten torched several times this year from distance. So Iguodala, I think that's where he would help them even more so than shooting the threes.
Okay, Rockets beat the Clippers again. It's regular season, but I didn't like how I thought the Clippers unraveled, and this is what worries the Clippers. There's the burden now, ring or nothing. They've bent a knee basically for Kawhi. And they're unraveling here in a regular season game in December. That worried me. Anything jump out to you?
Yeah, I'm not worried about their demeanor because, one, you got a great coach who knows how to handle personalities in Doc Rivers, who's been there. So I think he can control the roster. And your best player, Kawhi, and really Paul George as well, they're cool customers. You know, Kawhi especially. Nothing's going to get him off his game, get him out of his pace. So I think they'll be fine in that regard. A couple things that bother me about them. One, I wonder at times, because they're only 7-7 on the road. I know Kawhi's missed some of those games. They're now 0-2 they were 0-2 against Milwaukee. They're 1-2 against Houston. I know George missed one of those games. But I wonder if they're taking the regular season too much for granted. Like, too much laissez-faire. Like, it's just, you know, like last night, obviously, Kawhi missing every fourth game or so. That can hurt your chemistry.
There's no question.
Right? Because guys aren't used to playing with him, especially when you have another star like George, who when Kawhi's not there, he's got one role. When he is there, he's got another. And the second thing, Colin, is they're the opposite of the Lakers in many ways. In one, in their approach to the regular season, but also in their defense. The Lakers are great defensively at the rim, but not so much on the perimeter. The Clippers are great on the perimeter, but not so much at the rim. So, guys, you saw last night, if you can get past their perimeter defense, you got an easy lane to the layup at the rim. And I think that's a concern. You notice something else, and this tells you how they're viewing the regular season. Kawhi didn't guard James Harden at all. I don't know if he ever was on Harden last night.
They're not going to give you any.
No.
They're not going to give you any of their game plan. You know that Kawhi would be on James Harden in the second half of a big game.
Yep.
They just put him on him and take him out.
They're hiding him right now. Now, maybe that'll work, just like the load management, and you win the championship, and then we'll all praise you. But if it doesn't work, I wonder, at some points, you got to get used to what you're going to do in the postseason in the regular season.
Now, we know this in the NBA. There are just certain teams that are fun in the regular season, but it, you can just see it doesn't translate. I was talking to an NBA scout two nights ago about Utah, and I like Utah. He goes, they're not athletic enough outside of Donovan Mitchell. He goes, that's going to be really hard to stop LeBron and Anthony Davis and Kawhi and Paul George four times in 2 weeks. Utah's good, but they're not quite athletic enough. And he goes, that athleticism will win you a game or two. You can shut somebody down. So I look at Houston, and I look at them, and I think they're good defensively when they're in the mood, but there are, I don't think Westbrook's very good, Harden. I don't really buy them. I think they're fun. Even last night, they're fun. They're a good watch.
That's exactly what they are. They're eye candy. You know, they're the foxy model that you like to
yeah.
date and hang with, but you're not really marrying her.
Yeah, you cannot trust her.
Right, and that's what, hopefully that wasn't sexist, but this is what the Rockets are. They're sexy, they're fun to watch, they're must-see TV and all of that. Here's the only hope, Colin, that they have of being a contender. The only hope.
Health?
No. Last night, they need to learn from last night and see we don't have to be all Harden all the time.
God, they can get so, – but sometimes I don't blame the team or the coach. It's that's James's style.
It didn't used to be. Remember, this is a guy that was – I get it. You grow and you become better. But he was coming off the bench in Oklahoma City. And when he came off the bench, he was a distributor. Westbrook would be off the ball and Harden would handle it and run the offense and distribute. This is what I'm saying. He's averaging 38 points a game. Westbrook's 23. I think they'd be better off if that was more like 33 for Harden and 26 for Westbrook. Or even they both come down and Eric Gordon averages 18 or 17 when he gets back. Because, Colin, there's never been a team in NBA history that had a during the regular season that won a championship that had a score averaging more than 32 and a half points a game.
Ever.
That was Michael Jordan. Ever. He averaged 32.6 points a game when they won the championship, and that's the highest scoring average ever for a guy that won a title. When Wilt was averaging 50 and 44 and 38, they never won. When Jordan averaged 37, 35, 33, they never won. If they couldn't do it, I don't think Harden can do it, and you've got help. Westbrook, he's not going to do what he did last night.
But he can take over quarters.
Right. And then you got Capella who can score. Eric Gordon and P.J. Tucker can hit shots. So Austin can do some scoring for you, Austin Rivers. So they need to – Don Nelson once, early when he was coaching the Milwaukee
You know,
Bucks.
He's over in Hawaii smoking dope now.
Nelly?
Yeah, no, that's last time I talked to him, I didn't talk to him. I saw him. He's just smoking dope in Hawaii.
Not surprised.
But he really is.
Nelly, when he goes to Milwaukee Bucks, he once had a player average 26 points a game. He told that guy, I need you to bring that down to about 20. He brought it down to 21. They went from 38 wins, no playoffs, to 49 in the playoffs. Next year, he brings it down to 20. They win 60 games and go fairly far in the playoffs. So my point is sometimes less is more.
Yeah.
But look, James Harden now is dealing with the shoe brand. He's going to be historic. He has to make the decision. Do I want to average 38?
And be historic.
And be historic and go out in the second round or average 32 and maybe we win it.
Well, and the other thing is, it's easy to say, well, once he gets to the playoffs, he won't worry about it. But if you play a certain way and teammates get used to this 39 a game, they start sort of looking to you. They don't work as hard to get the ball. You don't work as hard off screens. So you have to create – I mean, Lamar Jackson running is great. But in the end, it's Lamar Jackson's passing – which doesn't allow you to cheat on the
right.
running. So they want to show you all that passing as they go into the playoffs. And so Lamar could get more yards running if Baltimore said, we're going to make him historic.
Right.
But Baltimore's coaches are like, we want to keep elevating the pass game, fewer rushing yards. We don't care about that stuff because eventually it includes everybody.
Yep.
It forces teams to defend you differently. Chris Broussard joining us. By the way, Giannis – I'm reading all these passing the torch things. I just want to acknowledge LeBron's been to 8 or 9 finals, 1-3. Giannis, no finals, no titles. We're not passing the torch, right?
No, you don't get the torch until the postseason. And especially when our last glimpse of you in the postseason, you were struggling mightily. averaging 22 points a game from 27 okay. in the regular season.
Let's go back to last year against Toronto. They were beat four straight games. Yep. Tell America what happened.
Well, they closed off the lane and said, Giannis, shoot the jumper. And he shot 44% from the floor compared to 58 in the regular season. Now, I will say this. Last night was a glimpse into the future. And it's a scary future for everybody outside of the team that has Giannis. Hopefully it remains Milwaukee. He shot 5 of 8 from three. And Colin, in December, 8 games, he has shot 47 threes and hit 21 of them. That's 44%. If he becomes a 35% three-point shooter, a legitimate three-point shooter, it may be over.
Oh, come
on. How are you going to stop him?
Listen, he's had a nice 8 games in December.
I'm just saying, that's a decent little sample size.
In December.
I'm not saying he's going to shoot 44%, but if he shoots 35% and he had the nice little turnaround Jay in from the mid-range in the fourth quarter last night, this guy is about 80% of what he could be, which is scary. So I'm with you on the torch is not passed because you have to do it in the playoffs. He doesn't have to win it this year. But if he gets to the finals, plays heroically, and loses to the Lakers.
How about we get him to a finals?
You're down on Giannis.
He's a great kid and a great story. But, God, if I have to hear about another big that's going to own the world, Karl Anthony Towns, Joel Embiid.
No, the difference.
Andrew Bynum.
The difference, every guy you mentioned cannot bring the ball up court. That's the difference between Giannis and even Anthony Davis. If I have AD, I need a guard to get AD to rock for the most part. Giannis can take the ball. That's why Luka, Giannis, they win games because they don't need to wait for you to give me the ball.
58% from the floor last year in the regular season. 44% against.
It won't be the case this year.
Oh, maybe he'll go down to 46%.
He's going to, trust me, he's coming. The torch will be passed. It just wasn't last night.
All right. Chris Broussard, good seeing you, buddy.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Jason McIntyre, former newspaper guy, bailed on that industry and got into digital and TV and radio for Fox Sports Radio and FS1. It's great to have you here. He is bizarrely accurate.
Well, not last week. Last week it was a bit of a speed bump for me, let's just say.
Okay.
I had a rough one.
That's okay. I'm 52% for the year on my NFL picks.
It's not bad.
It's been a weird year. Last week, I don't buy into this bad beat thing. I got hosed on Seattle. Fairly bitter about it. I got hosed on Seattle. Oh. It was a push. They were
Were up 30-10 with 7 minutes left.
I got hosed on it. Right. I would have called the commissioner if he cared about me. All right, here we go. All right, tomorrow's headlines today. What's the headline going to be for Rams Niners?
It's a rematch from a game the Rams got destroyed in earlier this season. I believe the headline will be Jingle All McVay. I love the Rams. Maybe third favorite pick this week is the Rams in a revenge spot. And here's why. The 49ers season, Colin, comes down to next week against Seattle. That essentially will be for the number one seed. If you can lose a game, and they did lose last week to the Falcons, this game doesn't mean that much to them. I mean, again, I'm not saying they're going to throw the game, but the focus is on the Seattle game next week. And Gurley did not play in the earlier meeting. He had a rough one against Dallas. And as we've talked about almost every week here, no NFL team is as good or as bad as they were last week. And the Rams were awful.
Yeah,
so I expect a max effort from McVay.
I stayed away from this game. The team that gets humiliated in the NFL last week, Rams, always plays great. By the way, that was the Houston Texans got destroyed.
Yes, by Drew Locke and the Broncos.
And then the bet of the week last week was Houston going to Tennessee and winning. Okay,
indeed.
What's the headline going to be? Tomorrow's headlines today for Cardinals Seahawks.
Yeah, well, if you sensed a theme, I just talked about 49ers Seahawks. I kind of like the Cardinals here, Colin. The headline will be a Murray Christmas to all.
You're pretty
Kyler
good.
Murray. Yeah, you can see there's a
Christmas
theme.
I like this kid
here.
A lot.
Yeah. Oh, he's got to be the rookie of the year. Now, Jacobs has been very good for Oakland, but Kyler Murray, I think he's exceeded expectations. 22-year-old quarterback coming in. People are like, this guy's a baseball player. I've liked what I've seen. He really crushed the Browns last week, looked good. He's fun, right? He's dynamic.
Oh, I told Joy the other day, Baltimore and Arizona are so fun to watch.
They look different than anything else you see in the league. And, you know, we're big on different, right? Both of us kind of came up not being typical guys.
Thank
me
you.
With the website, you going your radio route. And, like, I think I like what Murray is doing. And I think the Cardinals pull an upset here. If there's an overrated team in the NFC, it's got to be Seattle.
Green Bay.
Well, Green Bay too, but Seattle's 11-3, and their point differential's 26. 26! That's like a 500 team. They got a lot of breaks. I like the Cardinals to go into Seattle and pull an upset this week.
Tomorrow's headlines today. What will the headline be for Chiefs-Bears?
Now, I heard this was in Blazing 5.
Yeah.
And I'm not on the same side as you. The headline will be Mahomes Alone. By the way, a great Christmas movie. I know you sit around the campfire with the wife and kids.
It's my favorite Christmas movie of all time.
You have to. I mean, these people who say Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
No.
You can't watch that.
Home Alone.
Have marshmallows.
Home Alone 1 and Exorcist 2. Anyway.
Exorcist 2. Pat Mahomes has looked good, and there's all this excitement about the Kansas City Chiefs defense. Oh, they shut down Tom Brady. Colin, I don't want to go off on Brady here. If you look at the stats, since week 9, bottom 3 quarterback in the league in quarterback completion percentage, quarterback rating, yards per attempt. Tom Brady struggled. That KC defense, shutting down Oakland and Phillip Rivers, I'm not buying it. I like Mitch Trubisky fighting for his job, right? In Chicago. Big, big show up here by the Bears. Give me the Bears over the Chiefs.
Tomorrow's headlines today. What will it be for Monday Night Football? Packers-Vikings. Fascinating game. No, yes. Delvin Cook.
I'm trying to lobby Colin to come to this game with me.
Are you
we'll
going?
Go watch it at a bar. No, I'm not going to Minnesota.
Yeah.
But we will go out, watch the game. Should be fun. And the headline will be Rudolph guides the slate tonight. Kyle Rudolph. Come on. How good are these? Right?
Very good.
Rudolph and the Vikings. So the line on this is kind of fishy, Colin, isn't it?
They're begging you to take Green Bay.
Yes, and it's almost like the guys in Vegas setting the lines who built casinos in the desert may or may not know the Packers are fraudulent, right? 5.5, and guess what? Joe Public, who's going to the game, I'm going to put $20 on this. Give me the Packers, Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to put $50. The Vikings are definitely the side here. Mike Zimmer at home. I know there's no Dalvin Cook, but I don't think it matters. I love the Vikings here.
By the way, Green Bay, the trend I've seen with Green Bay, and it doesn't mean you can't win games, but I think it really hurts you against better teams, and I think Zimmer's a terrific coach.
Oh, yeah.
Green Bay is great on the script. They are tremendous in their first two drives.
Yes.
They're a bad adjustment team. Yeah. They've done nothing in the third quarter. And, again, you can get away with that. Yeah. McVay found that out, except against Belichick. This is an adjustment league. Tomlin's a good adjuster. Pete Carroll, John Harbaugh, Andy Reid, Mike Zimmer's adjuster. Matt LaFleur does some things I like.
If I told you I think the Minnesota Vikings could be a sneaky underdog to get to the Super Bowl, you would say, Jason, you're a smart man or not feeling? Again, Kirk Cousins, Colin, the narrative out there is, oh, he stinks. He's 0-8 on Monday Night Football. I like this Vikings team. They're kind of under the radar in the NFC. I like them a lot.
I think there are years I would have believed that. I just think the Saints are really good. I think San Francisco's really good. I think Seattle is exceptional. So I just don't like this year's not the year.
All right.
Finally, tomorrow's headlines today. What'll it be for Cowboys Eagles?
So we saved the best for last. The biggest game of the week. Everything on the line.
Yeah.
And the headline will be Dak throws balls to men from Philly. Fa-la-la-la-la. La-la-la-la. Give me the Eagles, Colin. Tell me you didn't take the Cowboys here.
I did, but guys, Vegas is leaning Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. So the line hit 3. Dallas was favored by 3. And all of a sudden, a tsunami of money comes in on the Eagles. It comes back down. Again, all signs point to, wow, Dallas just beat the Rams last week. Of course they're going to beat Philly. They killed them last time. But you know how these things work. Do you trust Jason Garrett in a big spot with everything on the line?
I just don't know how Philadelphia scores points.
What, with this Dallas defense, is that good? I mean, Josh Allen moved the ball on them. Trubisky moved the ball on them. I think Dallas is criminally overrated. I love the Eagles here. This would be my favorite pick of the week.
Wow.
Philadelphia Eagles to show up. And I think the Cowboys were Joy's Super Bowl team.
Yes.
Maybe someone else's. A lot of people like the Cowboys this year, and they have shown out sometimes, you know, against really bad teams.
I'm also with the Eagles. I'm with you on this game.
You got Eagles. Okay. Yeah. All right. So, Colin, you're on an island here. That's where you like to be, right? Oh, but oh, it looks like he's changing his mind.
By the way, I made my biggest bet in the history of my life, my biggest college bet, Whitlock. I put my money where my mouth is. I took Clemson.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say the dollar amount. Clemson's offense, I'll say it again. Clemson faces SEC teams regularly. They're used to that NFL-level speed. Ohio State has faced no offense with this skill position speed. If they don't get to Trevor Lawrence, because I do think Ohio State's D-line, the game comes down to Ohio State. They have to get pressure on Lawrence. If they do, they can win the game. If they don't, I don't think Ohio State can stop them for 3.5 hours.
After you told me about this, I pulled out my kid's college tuition and put it on Clemson. So my wife gave me the okay because we feel good about Clemson. Dabo Sweeney's going to come through. I got Clemson, yeah. I think Clemson wins the title. I think Clemson takes down Ohio State, then LSU.
By the way, it should be noted that Clemson crushed Alabama, and the five previous classes for that team were not top five classes. Now Clemson is winning the recruiting battles.
Have you looked at the quarterbacks Ohio State has faced? None of them are NFL quarterbacks. Now they got to face Trevor Lawrence, who's a machine. I mean, Jack Cohn moved the ball on them, the Wisconsin kid. He's not an NFL guy.
No.
What is Trevor Lawrence going to do? I think Clemson wins double digits. Yeah, I like them a lot.
Wow.
Yeah, it's your big bet. Mine as well, but don't tell my parents. They'll be upset.
All right, Monday, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong. I do like Oklahoma to cover but not beat LSU. How do you feel about that?
You see the suspensions for Oklahoma?
Yeah, there's two of the guys I don't care about.
They're leading sack guy on the defensive end, and you got to get
pressure.
But
he's got like nine. What is that?
Okay. They're down to like their fourth-string running back. Be careful. If it hits 14.5, I'll back you. It's at 14.
Well, have a great holiday season.
You as well.